I want to go back to an anecdote or a moment back when I was competing in judo, and I was all pumped up. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to this, you know, to my opponent? And my coach at the moment just said, hey, you don't have to do anything. You know everything. When you step on that mat, it's all about that first 2 seconds of attitude. The way you step into any arena, whether it's the mat, it's your presentation you're going to make, it's a big conference call, that first 2 to 3 minutes, or first 2 to 3 seconds, actually, of how you enter that domain is what determines how the rest of the journey is going to play.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. What does judo and the practice of martial arts have to offer the world of engineering? Do you want to know how to increase your effectiveness in every meeting in just 30 seconds? And for all we talk about courage, is courage at work the same around the world? Take a nice, deep breath in and let it out slowly as you prepare for today's episode with experienced engineering leader and black belt Hansel Ramathal. He holds a master's in chemical engineering, an MBA in international business and marketing, is fluent in 6 languages, and when I say black belt, I'm not talking about Six Sigma. As a skilled competitor and student of judo, Hansel has developed a powerful mindset on the mat. If you are looking for how to develop an edge under pressure, how to consistently perform your best, and want to calm the inner voice that sabotages your growth, you don't want to miss this. And as if that wasn't enough, Hansel is the first Oeko client to be featured on the podcast, so you are going to get tremendous value from his journey and maybe discover a bit more about me from an insider along the way. Before we dive in, I have something for you. And I know you're ready for today's episode, so I'll be really brief. If you are an engineer who is listening because you know there is more for you and you're looking to reach the next level in your career, we want to talk to you about getting results. I'm giving you a special invitation to request a career clarity call followed by a free coaching session with our team. Our client success coaches work exclusively with engineers just like you and are ready to help. Schedule a call with us today by visiting careerclaritycall.com. Again, that URL is careerclaritycall.com. There is no commitment and it's totally free. Take action to overcome your career growth barriers today, and we look forward to talking with you soon. So glad you're back, engineers. I am excited about today's guest. I'm here with Hansel Ramathal, and he is a development engineer, global key account manager for Celanese, where he's got 21 years with the organization, and he's got a special place in my heart because Hansel is a client of mine from a while back. We worked together here at Oeko, and he has so many incredible areas and domains and dimensions to his life, to his journey, and has just been a joy to partner with and to coach, and really excited to share some of what he brought into my life through that journey and then share some of his own growth and experiences with you today. Hansel, thanks a ton for making time for us.
Thank you, Zach, for having me on this podcast. I really am honored to have a chat with you.
Thanks, man. Hey, where to begin? There's 1,000 places we could, but one of the things that I really loved in hearing your description of your experience working with Oeko and discovering some of your own path and journey for your career and growth and stretching to the next level was the aha moments. You know, you talked a little bit about having these aha moments, and I really like the way that you described it when we were working together. And I was wondering if you could take us back and just explain a bit of what that means to you to have an aha moment and your experience with that as we partnered together.
Yeah, I'm happy to. When I was in the program, it was really a time that I could focus on myself a little bit deeper. And in some of those focus sessions, I came to this realization that what I was going through in the modules was no different than when I'm actually on the mat doing my judo work. I felt that my posture, my stance, my attitude was really defining where that next movement would come from. And it was in that aha moment that I realized that I have a choice on how I'm going to act in the next instance. And your modules bring that into very good connection because they tell you that based on that, you create the action that you're going to deliver on. And that's exactly what happens to me in the 10 seconds that I have to think on a judo mat.
Hmm. Do you feel like it's possible for someone totally on their own to go on a similar journey and have these type of aha moments? Or what's the catalyst? Maybe that's the question I'm curious about in your journey to having that light bulb turn on.
You know, Zach, you mentioned a very engineering and chemical word, catalyst. And coming, that's another of my passions is chemical engineering. Catalyst always comes not by oneself. Even a catalyst needs to act with another. And in these aha moments, even though I felt it was just me at that moment, there is a group of people around me, colleagues, and in this case, being part of the OECO family, there was the OECO group that we would have discussions with. All those tidbits of information play into these aha moments. You know, when we're doing anything, even I'm going to go back to judo because that's kind of where I relate to. Even on that mat, as much as I want to filter out distracting thoughts, there is subconsciously an interaction that I had with colleagues, friends, family, coaches that come into that 5 seconds of a subconscious decision that you make. You can only reflect on it later on, but at that moment, that's what drives you to your next action. So in what you just shared right now, there was a catalyst in those aha moments. That was because I had started to go through this group work with you and your other clients and started to focus on what needs to change, what needs to be reflected upon, and what's the next stance I take.
I love that. Started to focus on it. So I'm not a martial artist, but I love hearing you talk about it. Tell us first, when did you start in judo?
My judo journey has been very interesting. It was actually started, I started it when I was maybe 8 or 9. And at the time, it was my mother's antidote to getting two boys out of her afternoon and go fight somewhere else. Except as you know, judo is not about fighting. It's actually about avoiding the fight, but being able to defend oneself.
Yeah, actually, tell me more about that. The differences between different martial arts and where judo sits in that world. Maybe just go a little further. I imagine the engineer listening may not practice judo or know anything about what's the difference between karate or judo or jiu-jitsu. Just give us a little understanding on where judo fits in that world.
Yeah. This is, I'll try to be very brief. As you know, martial arts started historically in the monasteries. Monks wanted to defend themselves. And so they'll practice these arts because they had plenty of time on their hand. And there's a lot of meditative practices involved in that. that evolved into today's judo as one of the modern martial arts. And judo was created by a gentleman in Japan named Jigoro Kano. And what he did was, as a student of other martial arts, he observed that injuries were very rife. And to take out injuries, to create some sense of community contribution to the society and personal health, he created judo, a combination of wrestling, karate, without the punching, and jujitsu, ancient Japanese, ancient Japanese jujitsu, which involves locks and holds. So what you see today on camera with judo is a combination of movement, throwing, wrestling-like throwing, and then pinning down. And inside all that is the nucleus of the original martial arts, which is, what does your internal self feel like? That's what will come outside.
So earlier you made a comment with a key word that I want to explore deeply together, that you had this aha connection in exploring your career growth and career vision and what does it look like to step out of your comfort zone and crush comfort and all the things we talk about at Awaco, and connecting it to this idea of attitude, posture, and stance. This word stance. And I remember when you first shared with me this aha, that it absolutely resonated. And I don't have the judo background, but tell us more about this idea of stance.
Yeah, I want to go back to an anecdote or a moment back when I was competing in judo, not very high level, but I was competing in a sort of a Midwest United States level tournament. And I was all pumped up. What am I going to do? What am I going to do to this, you know, to my opponent? And my coach at the moment just said, "Hey, you don't have to do anything. You know everything. It's all about, when you step on that mat, it's all about that first 2 seconds of attitude." And what he meant by that was, the way you step into any arena, whether it's the mat, it's your presentation you're going to make, it's a big conference call, that first 2 to 3 minutes, first 2 to 3 seconds, actually, of how you enter that domain is what determines how the rest of the journey is going to play. And I've experienced that. I've gone into a judo match feeling I'm going to crush this guy, I know so much, and I came out as the loser. And I've gone into a judo match where I'm kind of nervous, but I know that my coach has told me I know everything. And I've surprised himself and myself coming out as the winner. So the stance is all that we can control. And if we go in with a very positive outlook, whether we win or lose, we're going to learn something from this. That's the attitude that I've now been trying to foster in these in the recent months of growth, personal growth. Is it's not about the, you know, we hear it as a cliche, it's not about the destination, but it's the journey. But I would like to rephrase that, is it's about the stance in the first instances that determines how the journey is going to be.
It's about the stance in the first instances. And I love how powerful that idea is. I want to go back, though, to something you said that I think is really challenging and confusing a lot of times when we think about or talk about the idea of what confidence looks like, what a confident or courageous maybe stance would look like in our minds, in our mindset, and the words we might use to describe it. You said, I stepped onto the mat sometimes with this attitude of, I'm going to crush this guy, kind of a outward looking at the opponent, and then you lost. And tell me about that attitude, because I think that's a really popular thing we see in sports, we see in movies, this kind of get pumped up around this idea of, I'm going to crush the opponent. And I'm hearing you say, like, that energy is not the energy that you're looking for in your first 2 seconds. Like, what's the distinction there? And why are we so caught up with that? Yeah.
I think the distinction is very subtle, and it's very easy to slip into either side of that window pane. But the reason I say that, it's a very controlled activity that you can do for the first few seconds. Because if you walk in and said, I'm going to crush the other guy, you have just lost grip upon yourself. Because your grip is already on the other person. In judo, the match starts without any grips. Your first goal is to get a grip on the other guy. So if mentally you're already gripping the guy, yeah, that seems like a positive play, but you don't have the grip yet. And because you don't have the grip yet, your mind is not focusing now on getting that grip because you think you've got the grip. So to boil it down to, actually, I want to take it to an engineer level.
Please.
When we look at a problem in front of us, I don't think any professional engineer goes, oh, I'm going to get my hands all over that. As engineers, we boil it down to which part of that big problem do we understand facts around, and then we try to slowly get our grip on that, you know, and we work our way in that. That's exactly how it works on judo. You get, you know, you get his sleeve, and then you kind of inch your way up the sleeve, and then he lets go of the sleeve, you get the other sleeve, and you kind of just slowly get your hands into as much of his grip you can get, or his gi. And when you think you've got enough, internally you feel that the energy is moving towards you. You move in with your throw. I've been that judo player that has just gone and bear hugged the guy and tried to launch whatever I know, and I'm on the floor. He just threw me.
This is really a beautiful metaphor to say, look, when you step onto the mat in your life, the moments of life where you have a challenge, an opponent, an area that you're struggling with, maybe it's not even a big negative thing. It could be a great opportunity, could be a loving relationship, then you're reconnecting. Maybe it's a daily interaction with your spouse. Like, it doesn't matter even the context. It's to say, when I step into that arena, when I step onto that mat, those first few moments, starting with an inward grip, a grounding within myself of how I want to be and what I need to be in this moment, to then begin having the impact in the world that I want to have outward and starting to get that grip. Infinitely scalable, and it's how that might apply in our lives. You gave a great example for engineers on a problem, but how else does this impact you day to day? Where do you have this thought, and how does it change the way that you live?
Yeah, you know, Zach, I actually wanted to send out a note to you a few weeks ago, because I remember our very first conversation, you talked about a concept called framing. And at the time, I kind of thought, okay, framing, this sounds like you're, again, creating agendas before you go into a meeting. But it was more than that. I realized that framing is that moment where you check in with yourself and you check in with the other person, that this is what we're going to be doing today. Is that okay? And I think that relates to what I was just talking about, checking in with yourself for any activity, is to find out, how are you doing today? Recently, because of the word framing and understanding that a little bit deeper and connecting it to my martial arts background, I've found that as I have conversations with my colleagues, I've been able to be very conscientious of their time and my time. And I've been able to communicate to them that this time we've carved for each other is going to be a quality time, because I've got things that I would like to cover. What else is it that you'd like to cover? I've become very intentional with that conversation.
Yes.
It might sound awkward to some people, but I think I've not yet had anyone tell me after that, oh, that was a waste of my time. They've actually, a couple of people have thanked me for giving them back 10 minutes of the assigned meeting time. I now reflect that as, yeah, that's actually what happens even when you're on a judo mat or in a martial arts tournament. The match time is 5 minutes. Nobody said you need to take 5 minutes to throw the guy. So it's not about throwing, but to come out as accomplishing your target. You know, it could be 1 minute, it could be 2 minutes. But if you get a grip on yourself before, yes, check in with yourself, check in with the other person, you know, you could be more efficient on everybody's time. And also enable everybody has got what they intended for that time.
For the engineer listening, if they're wondering, what is this framing thing that Hansel's talking about? You know, you gave a good example, but just to put it in a box, in any interaction with another engineer, with a team, if you're giving a presentation, you know, it's almost irrelevant, the context, but you're creating the container. In essence, the 5 minutes and the mat, and we're saying, hey, here is the space that we're going to occupy together. And in our time, you know, this is what we would like to accomplish. And so the framing in very practical terms would be, you know, hey, Hansel, it's really amazing to have some time with you today. What I'd love to do is record an episode of the Happy Engineer podcast with you. We'll take about half an hour. And during that time, I'd love to explore a few of the key learnings you had in our program and learn more about martial arts with you and give you a chance to share your heart and your wisdom with our audience. And then at the end, maybe we'll have a few minutes, we can just catch up. Does that sound good to you?
And yeah.
Sounds great. So he says, yes. Yeah. Most, I'd say 99% of the time you get that sounds great. The framing, what I love about this connection, it's a really great example that I have made known what I need to get from this situation that's in benefit or connected to the agenda of the time. And I've, in essence, not only grounded myself in my stance, but I've also made it known my intention to the other person, what I'm here to accomplish. You know, I'm going to throw you today. This is the plan. And people respond really well to seeing and being given clarity on my needs, what we are here to do. And so often we don't express what needs to happen and we don't stand strong for the things that must occur for our agenda. We feel selfish or we feel like we don't have the control, or maybe it's I don't have the title or I don't have the authority. So simple concept and a really great metaphor around this idea of stance. Hansel, tell me then, what would be the words rather than I'm going to crush this guy? If you were going to describe the stance that you do bring into some key moments of your life, how would you describe it in words for people? What is Hansel's stance?
I would use the word collected, as in you've done some reflection and bundled up your thoughts. There are some uncomfortable thoughts. There are some comfortable thoughts, but I'm collected.
I love that.
I would say another stance would be chest up and forward, not on back foot, leaning back. And the reason I say that is, and Zach, you and I have talked about this, even in a presentation, as you stand before an audience, if you're always on your back foot in the corner of the projector, the audience very quickly reads that energy and they say, okay, he's running away from his slides, literally speaking.
Yes.
Versus you are not staring back at the screen. You're in the middle of the room. You're, you know, kind of taking a few steps left and right, but you're really engaging with everybody. You can't establish that after you've gone to the back of the room, you know. But if you do that in the beginning of the presentation, even if you withdraw for a moment later on, the audience is looking because they think this is planned. This guy's got a plan here.
I love the word energy and how you describe that. And just for the engineer listening, this isn't only in a physical presentation kind of environment like Hansel's talking about. It also applies even, you know, people who see this on YouTube, you know, the podcast, you won't be able to see, but as we record this, when Hansel said chest up and in, it immediately triggered me to do this exact same movement and bringing my energy up when he changed his energy. And it's the same on Zoom or in any other context. It can even be translated over the phone, just through your voice and the energy that you communicate there. There's so much that happens. And so the connection between these ideas, it's not just philosophy. You know, it's very real in the physical, and it impacts our body through, you know, in our subconscious mind in a lot of ways that are extremely influential. And, you know, I wasn't expecting you to change my posture just there, but just by doing that, it happened. And so I think I just want engineers to understand that these are really important concepts, because you might be thinking, how do I land this next interview? Or how do I get that next promotion? And we're thinking about these tactical things. Well, lots of what separates the very upper echelon or that best candidate from the majority are these small things. It's not that they have a degree from a better school than you, or they said a better example of how they are great with teams in a behavioral interview. Yeah. It's the way that they influence people through these micro behaviors and the energy and the stance that Hansel's talking about. I don't know, Hansel, if that triggers anything for you, but would you agree with that, or what have you experienced with that?
Yeah, recently, you know, you mentioned Zoom and Teams. We are all, well, some in some countries, we are still doing web-based meetings. I've noticed that if you're talking to a client and they're not on image, but you're on image, so you're projecting yourself, to me, that's a very positive way of showing them I'm not hiding behind a screen somewhere in the corner of Japan. Yeah. I'm actually there staring at them. And I've gotten some very key questions answered. Now, I don't know whether it was, you know, because they saw me on camera, but I believe that being able to deliver that energy visually and you know, through audio gets people to believe in you, trust in you. They know that you're real. I know I'm preaching to the choir because we are all doing image-based work right now. But I think to be able to project your intention and your words physically via the camera is the next best to being in front of them.
Totally. So speaking of being in Japan, you know, you have had a really unique global experience in your lifetime and as an engineer and in your career. And you know, Oeko is the oasis of courage. And when you went through our program, you know, we spent some time unpacking this idea of courage in our career, what that looks like and how it is a catalyst to things happening and creating results and getting out of our comfort zone. I'm really interested to hear you share some of your perspective around this idea of courage as it relates and interacts with culture. Between, you know, maybe a US culture and the Japanese culture, where it's different, but some of the points that maybe were surprisingly the same, or how you had to show up with courage in that context. What would you describe in terms of courage and culture and that interaction?
Yeah, thank you for that question, Zach. That's actually a very profound question, because In typical, and I'm by no means an expert on Japanese culture business. I'm a student of Japanese culture, just like everybody around me. But what I've noticed is courage is good to have, but courage is not good to demonstrate in Japanese business sense. And the reason is because people are coached in cohorts, and you're never encouraged to step outside your group. It's a group think society, which has positives and maybe some limitations. But because of that, showing up with courage has taken a different realm. For example, I'm a foreigner. I don't speak the language fluently. Therefore, one of the mindsets I had when I first came here is I cannot make phone calls on my own. I lived in that igloo shell for a while, and then I realized if you don't come out of that shell, nobody knows you're inside it. And so I started making customer phone calls on my own, which was the most harrowing experience. But you know, once I stepped out of that, I made a ton of mistakes linguistically, probably made a ton of mistakes in terms of the honorific language usage, but the customers are the most graceful people I met. They gave me information. They wow. talked slowly. They wrote back the conversation to me in an email, so they knew I could translate it and get actually the key requirements that I was asking. So I learned a very big lesson from that, that my fixed mindset was telling me, you don't know the language, you're not from here, you can't make these phone calls. My growth mindset said, give it a shot. Yes. What's the worst that's going to happen? Somebody hangs up on you? And nobody hung up on me till this day. So that has really fueled my, it has actually emphasized and boosted my why. And the why is, I love to talk to customers. Why should I stop myself from picking up the phone and calling somebody and using the language that I know? And we just talked about energy. Energy is, I believe, 50% of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in a nutshell of what I've learned in Japan. You know, it's all of my US training kind of helped me, but I was back to ground zero here. So I had to relearn this art of step outside what is your boundary of today.
Yes. This is a really subtle point you made, but I want to highlight it again, that courage is not something that has to be demonstrated in a boldly public way in the context of business or relationships. That courage, in many cases, is just happening inside your own heart and mind to shift from that fixed mindset to the growth mindset. And courage isn't always puffing your chest and banging on your chest like Tarzan and going out and doing something or being a hero. You know, it really is something that begins, you know, in many ways, a quiet, centered, grounded stance of shifting out of a fixed place and saying, I'll give it a shot. And it actually could be, in a way, silent. No one even sees the courage happening. It's just in within yourself. And for folks who feel like they're not courageous, you know, well, that's a choice that you are able to make. And it doesn't have to be grandiose or match someone else's, you know, what you see as courage. It may just be you taking that one small, subtle step and picking up the phone and giving it a shot. So be honest with us, Hansel. What was it really like in your emotions and in the experience, that first phone call? Like, take us to that. When they answered the phone in Japanese, what were you experiencing?
I don't know if there's a word to describe it, but I don't know. I think I was sweating from my brain as well. Forget my hands and my...
I was sweating in the brain.
Yeah. But I think I mixed the guy's name up. I asked, can I speak to, you know, Mr. So-and-so? And I think I even mixed up his name. And the person said, oh, you mean this person? I was like, yes. It's one of those names where it can, the two syllables can flip both ways. And I flipped it. And they called the person to the phone. And there was a 5-second silence. And he had to say, hello, is somebody there? And oh, yes. I'm Hansel from Celanese. Is it okay to speak right now? And it was those first 10 seconds where I think they were like a slow motion mm-hmm. incident.
Mm-hmm. And after that call, what was the sort of coming down off of that sweating brain high, like, tell us, where was the point where you realized that didn't kill me? It actually wasn't that bad. Tell us the arc of the growth for you.
Yeah. So it was during the call, actually, when I was trying to ask him a couple of, so, you know, I was asking him, what kind of chemical resistance do you need for this polymer? And I got the word for chemical resistance, but I think he didn't quite understand how. And then he put it together. It was during that, at that moment, that actually he said, oh, let me give you some more information. And I felt like, thank you, God, because I'm going to sit back. He's going to be telling me stuff. And I have a moment to recollect my thoughts and not hunt for the next word. And he did. He told me a bunch of stuff. Maybe I understood only 50% of it, but I was trying to just make some notes of words that I don't know. And as I came off that call and I said, thank you very much for your time today, and would it be okay to confirm all this by an email? And he said, yes, I'll send you an email now, which actually I meant, can I send him an email and he would confirm? But he said, no, I'll send you an email after this. So he was gracious enough.
Yes.
So when I got off that call, I remember actually not sitting down, but walking outside my house and just kind of pacing a little bit.
Yeah, all that energy.
Yeah. And then coming back and actually going to a store nearby to get a snack for myself. So, you know, it was before I joined your program, but Zach, that was what I learned. Go reward yourself.
I
did. I went and bought a snack from the store and came back and sat down, and there was an email waiting for me. I mean, the guy had, to his word, written down an email with what we talked about.
I love it. It's such a great story. And you know, sometimes we're all guilty of making that next step seem like this huge insurmountable thing. And you mentioned the mindset, a fixed mindset. I don't speak the language, therefore I can't make these calls by myself. And that limitation, when you had the courage to just say, I'll give it a shot, you get to the other side of that and boom, suddenly a whole new realm of possibility is available to you. That's really, really amazing. So Hansel, if you were going to say one other really big shift for you in the last 6 months, as you've really been leaning into personal growth and development, is there anything else that stands out as like, this is what has shifted or changed in my mindset or my approach in that time?
Absolutely, Zach. And you and I have talked about this many times, but it has been around the use of my time and energy. And by that, I mean, we all have stuff that fills up our calendars, literally from the minute we wake up in the morning and switch on our phone. There's stuff we can all put into there and pack it. Since I have been working with you, I am a very big proponent of the focus funnel, as you call it, but basically a funnel and efficiency of your day. What matters? When does it matter? And will it matter tomorrow? I've gone into a habit, literally, and you know, I'm not kidding. I've got into a habit of literally discriminating the tasks by that criteria, because in that, I have found now a lot more time to meditate, to take little relaxing breaks in the middle of my day. Maybe my managers shouldn't know this, that I have time on my hand, but I have time on my hand because it's allowing me to think strategically for some customers that I cover. So I can actually take a walk and think, what am I going to do with that customer? Because they want to know about this product. You know, how are we going to plan that launch a few months out? I would not have had that if I sat in front of my computer staring at my inbox and just going through the email drill, you know, every minute. That's one big shift in my focus. And the other shift has been able to communicate that to my colleagues. I've told my colleagues, I will look at email in the morning and in the afternoon. Anything urgent, you have my phone number. And between the times of 4 PM and 6 PM, I am with my family, taking care of my kids, making sure they're fed. And we, as a family, we spend time at dinner. After 6, I probably will be coming back to catch up with some stuff at work. But that's my calendar that I've created for today's situation in my life.
There's so much we could dig into, and we don't have time today to explore. I'm sure the engineer listening is like, wait, how did he do that? What do you mean time and energy? And I want that life that you just described. A lot of us feel like we're in that endless rat race of the, you know, inbox is never at zero, and I'm a slave to not having enough time. And so I'll just say for now, you know, those shifts Hansel talked about are super powerful. And you know, if you need a coach, get a coach, because it's just so important to understand the relationship of time and energy and how to set the boundaries in place and communicate those and uphold those in a way that meets your vision and values for your life and your family. And the focus funnel, credit to whom credit is due, you know, Rory Vaden and the book Procrastinate on Purpose, I recommend everybody go grab a copy of that, is where you'll learn about the focus funnel. It's a really powerful framework, you know, that we show our clients. And so Hansel, I'd love to keep going. There's so much to discuss, but in the interest of time and getting you on with your day and letting the engineer listening or not be with us for hours and hours, one of the things that I believe is a great engineering and great coaching have this in common: questions lead and answers follow. And so if the engineer listening to this conversation wants to be happy, what is the best question to lead them with?
I would say, what is my stance today? What is my stance now? Because the rest will happen with that stance. So ask yourself, what stance do you want to take to have a very good rest of your day or rest of your month, or rest of your life?
Oof. Perfect place to end. What is your stance? I love it. Hansel, thank you so much for making time for this. You know, if somebody listening wants the opportunity to either learn more about Celanese or to connect with you, is there any place you might point them to be able to catch up with who you are and what you're doing in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on Facebook, and I'm always open to new connections and learning from other people. So yeah.
Beautiful.
Happy to connect.
Thank you so much for sharing your heart, your wisdom, and the connections between judo and the martial arts and our life as engineers and this incredibly powerful concept around stance. I hope everybody takes this and really not only thinks about it, but takes action on it. So Hansel, I hope we can do this again sometime. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Zach. And thank you for having a conversation with me, and really love what you've done for me as well.
Hello again, my friend. It's Zach White, your host and your coach for this wild ride called career growth. I hope you're enjoying the show. By the way, if you feel like an overworked and undervalued engineer who wants to find better balance and get paid what you're worth, I want you to get started today by checking out the Productivity Power Laws, my free video short course at productivitypowerlaws.com. If you're new here or you haven't done this yet, this is definitely the first step to get started in applying these principles to your life. So head over to productivitypowerlaws.com and grab your free gift from me and the team at Awaco. What an amazing conversation with Hansel Ramathol. Let's take just a couple of minutes, engineer, and talk about what this means for your life. Let's debrief together. Just stick with me here, because I want to make sure that this lesson, multiple lessons from Hansel, don't pass us by without understanding how to put it into practice and where you go from here. First thing that we must remember, and I know this is going to sound really self-serving as a coach saying this, but did you catch what Hansel said about aha moments and breakthrough moments in his own awareness and action and results? The catalyst, by its definition, needs something outside of itself in order to create the reaction, right? You sitting alone in a room by yourself, reflecting on your problems, reflecting on things that are going well, things that are not going well, you know, and making decisions in a vacuum alone, you are not going to have the same kinds of breakthroughs as when you provide that catalyst to change. Now, what are examples of what that can be? It might be for you a great book. You know, you read a book that has a new idea. The thoughts of the author are entering your mind and may be a catalyst to change. It might be what you're listening to. This podcast, this episode, this conversation with Hansel may be a catalyst to you because it's something outside of your own thoughts entering in. But my point is, if you sit alone with only your own thinking, and you don't bring new questions, new perspectives, new people, new experiences into your life, then you're missing the opportunity to accelerate the reaction, to have that catalyst to the breakthrough aha moments in your career and in your life. This is why everyone needs a coach. This is the reason that working with a coach is so powerful, no matter where you're at in your journey. And like I said, I know that sounds totally self-serving being a coach, and I'm not saying you need to work with Aweco, but I am saying that you must consider the importance of exposing yourself to new ideas, new questions, and working with a coach is an incredibly powerful way to make that happen. And Hansel shared his experience with you, and I just encourage you, make sure that you have those resources in your life. And if you don't, then I would love to serve you. That's what we do for engineers here at Aweco, is to help you have those same breakthroughs and understanding in your life. Stance. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I love this picture that Hansel painted for us from the martial arts, from judo, of stepping onto the mat and the importance of those first few moments. How those first few moments set the tone, the energy, the attitude behind, you know, really the entire experience of that particular match. Whatever that may be, right? It could be a meeting for you. It could be the day. It could be the year, right? The context of this, it doesn't matter if we're saying that the stance for the next 5 minutes or your stance for the next 5 years, the point remains the same, that how you step onto the mat is going to have everything to do with how you move through that experience. Don't lose the grip on yourself in pursuit of that goal, that vision, that dream. You know, starting with that inward confidence, that inward courage, that growth mindset. And I love what Hansel said, being collected, calm, collected in your being. So if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, that sounds nice, but what does that really mean? What does that really look like? How do I do this? In practice, this is you being intentional to choose the thinking that leads into the situation, being coming before doing. So, before I hit record on this podcast, I took a moment to ground myself in my stance. Who am I as a podcast host? Who am I as a coach? Who am I as the CEO of Aweco? And who do I need to be for you in this moment right now to show up with the energy and the intention and the power and the collected aim towards, you know, what I want to achieve in this time? That action of intentionally bringing my thoughts into the stance of Zach White, the podcast host, is what it looks like. It's a real activity of me choosing those thoughts. And I actually have those thoughts written down right here in front of me to help me prime my mind and enter in with the proper stance. There are a lot of other ways that this can manifest in your life in specific actions and tactics. If you want more of that, then reach out to us at Aweco, because that's exactly what we're supporting our clients in, among countless other strategies and tools in the mindset toward career and life. But this one right here by itself could change your life if you will wrap your head around and take action on this practice of stance in your life. And you heard from Hansel, his number one question: what is your stance going to be in this moment, in this meeting, today, in your life, in your marriage? What's your stance? I don't think there's anything else we need to say today. That is so beautifully wrapped up. So engineer, take action. Put this into practice. If you don't know how, then reach out and get help. If it's not clear, don't just go on to the next episode and do nothing. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning of the journey. This is one of many distinctions that you need to make in the process of unleashing a growth mindset and developing the career and the life that you desire. we would love to support you in that. But regardless, the point is knowledge by itself, hearing this, does you no good. Put it into practice, implement what you've heard, and I cannot wait to see where it takes you. Share with us what you're learning, what you're experiencing, the results that you're getting, so we can celebrate with you at Awaco. And as always, let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the resource hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.